So anyways, we're here gathered in his name. And Lord, we appreciate you. We don't deserve you, but we appreciate you. We thank you. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for the joy that you give us, the strength that you give us, Lord. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that you have brought us together in this place today. Yes, even for such a time as this. Lord God, we are your people. And we are here, Lord, because we want to be made well. We want to be made whole. We want to be equipped. We want to be prepared. We know you're coming. So God, I pray that everyone of us will be ready. Deliver us from presumptuous sin, Lord, assuming we're okay if we're not. But God, reveal it to us. Draw us to you. Set our hearts on fire. Father, rekindle the flame in every heart. Renew a right and steadfast spirit in each one of us. Recalibrate our lives, Lord, back into agreement with your divine purpose for which we were created. We were made for you. We were made to worship you. We were made to walk with you. We want to know you. So God, I ask that you would give us another glimpse of your glory today. To know you is to love you. That's a true fact when it's Jesus. To know him is to love him. I don't know about that guy that said it when he looked in the mirror, he got better looking each day. But I know that if we look in the mirror of God's word, we get better looking. Amen. As Jesus changes and transforms us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. God's promises are yes. They're yea and amen, right? So they're yes. You know, it's interesting that when we say yes, Lord, and that means we come into agreement with his will and his purpose, then what we ask for is a yes. Amen. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we need to know his heart. We need to hear his voice. We need to know what God is saying. You know, folks, what we're called to do is bigger than we can do by ourselves, right? We're all workers together. And I want to just remind everybody of this one thing, that remember, Noah and his family were saved. Remember that. How many were saved? Eight. Only eight souls in that entire world were saved. And every one of those souls, understand this, were also builders. They were building. They were part of the construction project of the ark. They're all operating and functioning by faith in the promise that God said, I'm going to deliver you. However, if you don't believe me and you don't build this thing, there's no escape. How many know that ark represents Jesus Christ? We got to get on the ark, amen, of his safety. You got to get in Christ. You need to be in Christ. That's the only hope, the only safety there is. And remember this, that we're all called to serve. We're all called to build his kingdom. Amen. We're all co-laborers together with Christ. Understand that. It's part of it. Faith is more than just saying, I believe. Amen. Faith is more than just receiving a Bible study. It's about applying that word to our lives, to living and walking it out. Amen. So God bless you. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive. Lord, that you have prepared the soil, the heart's soil today. Lord, that you sow the truth into our hearts with understanding and seal it there in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach on something that I haven't talked about in probably 5 or 6 years. But I believe it's a timely word. As we look around our nation today and we see what's happening, there is large-scale rebellion. There is large-scale confusion. There is large-scale deception, and there is a spirit of witchcraft that is what it is. And a lot of this is being provoked by people who have a pact with the devil himself to create chaos in this nation because they want to take America down. And they have many people that are willing to do their bidding because the Bible says that the devil takes people captive at his will. If they're not in Christ, amen, then we're easy targets to believe the lie. As a matter of fact, if we do not receive the love of the truth, if we're not willing to accept what God says as our truth, then we will be given over to the lie. We will believe the deception, the lie of the devil. So the answer for our nation is not, thank God, you know, we got through this election, all right? We're through it. Praise God, right? How many of you know that no matter who gets in office, this nation, amen, needs to be submitted to God? And our hope is not Donald Trump. It's not Hillary Clinton, amen? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer for our nation. So no matter what your persuasion or your belief is in this whole thing, understand that God has not called us to rebellion, but He's called us to submission to the governing authorities. Now, this is a hard word for some because, and even for myself, should I say, because sometimes I get pretty tweaked at some of the stuff that I see and the injustices that I see. However, the Bible says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. So if we are lawbreakers, we are actually rebelling against God's ordinance. Hear this. See, we all have an opinion about what we think is best. But then there's truth. There's a difference between my opinion and the truth. We all have an opinion of what we think should happen, or how things should go, or how they should look. But then there's the truth. And when we rebel against the authorities, hear me, and we decide that I don't want to go through the front door, I want to go another way, or I don't like that rule, so I'm going to just break it because I think it's unreasonable, it's unfair. We have to be very careful because the Bible is very clear that there is no authority, hear me, except from God. For there is no authority. That's legitimate authority, by the way. There's illegitimate authority, and we're going to talk about it. No authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God appointed Donald Trump. He is anointed. He has been anointed and placed in that office. Whether we like him or not, what we need to do now is we need to come together and we need to get behind him and we need to pray to God, amen, that God will direct him. How many know that God can change the heart's king, the king's heart? Like the waters of the river brook, amen, he can turn the heart of the king anywhere he desires. So we got to pray for those in authority over us. Whether we like him or not is beside the point. It's for our own benefit that we pray. And another thing I want to say this, folks, is we need to be very careful that now that the election's over, that we don't just kind of go back to business as usual. Because, folks, we are in a place right now in our nation where we are very vulnerable, amen, to destruction. And so the only hope that we have as a nation is that we pull together and we pray together and we seek God's face and we call down the kingdom into our nation again. I have a hard time praying for people who I disagree with. But you'll find out that if you start praying for them like you would pray for yourself, you'll actually start to find yourself actually loving someone who you may have considered to be an enemy even. What did Jesus say? Pray for those, right? Who despitefully use you and persecute you. He also said, bless those who... And he said, love your enemies. Ah. Now, are we just going to take an opinion here or are we going to listen to what Jesus said? Because, folks, if we don't listen, if we don't obey the truth, then we're going to be subject to the lie. There is a blindness that has come upon our nation. It is sin that has blinded the minds and the eyes of the people. There is a propaganda machine that's going 24/7 telling you how to think. We have a direct line, amen, to the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, amen? We have received His Spirit so that we may know what is true. So we need to be praying and say, God, what do you say about it? I don't care what I hear the media say. I don't care what it looks like. What are you saying, God? I think about Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, and the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three that refused to bow down to the image of gold that the king had set up in his name. Mr. Narcissist, you know. But God humbled that king. And when it was all said and done, I'm jumping ahead on this, but he came back and he says, the God of Daniel is the true God. He interprets dreams. He raises one king up and brings another down. How many know that Nebuchadnezzar had to eat grass for a while to wake up? But he had an epiphany, right? He woke up and said, hey, what happened here? You know, sometimes people are eating grass and don't even realize they're eating grass. I want to talk about authority because it is the solution to chaos. Authority is the solution to lawlessness and poor organization. You cannot function in any nation without a proper authority structure. And if we despise the authority, or if we don't agree with it, and we say, well, I'm not going to obey the authority, we're actually disobeying God who placed them in authority. The only exception to that, is if they violate the Scriptures. Because God's Word is above all laws. Amen? It is the highest order. So a wrong attitude towards authority can have serious and even lasting repercussions. If we are not careful and we have a rebellious nature, would you agree? But if we allow that rebellious nature to rule, we can find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Do you want God's blessing on your life? You want God's favor in your life? Then submit to His authority and the authorities that He's placed in your life, as long as they do not violate His word. There's no other exception, folks. We are now called to intercede as God's people for those who have been placed in authority over us. Because it says, therefore, verse 2, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. This is not some kind of like, this is not a light thing. This is serious business, folks. When people rebel against their government, we are seeing a global rebellion right now. How many know what I'm talking about? Nations in turmoil, people rebelling, coups taking place everywhere. There is the spirit of Antichrist that is very active in the earth today. The spirit of Antichrist says, the devil says, I want to be worshipped. And I am going to create a problem with anyone who wants to worship anybody but me. When people rebel against the authorities that are in power, you see, they're actually obeying the devil. I'm sorry, folks. This is the Word of God. You don't have to believe it, but I believe the Word of God. Titus 3:1 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Speak evil of, it's awful quiet in here. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all. Amen. All is a big word. 1 Peter 2:13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. whether to the king as supreme or to governors or as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who are doing good. Verse 17 says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. One of the things that we've lost in our nation today is honor. Verse Peter 2:13, and then also 14 and 17. But we have lost that sense of honor and that sense of respect for authority. You know, we are a law unto ourselves so often. And folks, we've been talking about the problem is not low self-esteem or not loving yourself enough. It's self-centeredness. And when we're self-centered, then everything has to go my way. And if it doesn't, you have hell to pay. But to submit means to place yourselves under that authority and to say yes to those who are governing you, except if they violate the truth, the Word of God. Now, this is where we have to be careful, because then our mind begins going to a place where we say, well, I'll just justify my behavior. They're not good. They're bad people. They're this, they're that. You know what? It doesn't say because you like their character or even if they have good character, but because of the fact that they have been placed by God in that position, be very careful that you don't speak or rail against them, because if you do, you're speaking against the authority that God has ordained. I know, folks, this is a tough one, but this is the truth. But if you want the blessing of God, the favor of God on your life, you're going to have to learn how to submit yourself. We are not gods. We are not gods. There is one God, the Father. Amen? There is one Lord Jesus Christ. There's one Holy Spirit. But we're not gods. And that's the part of us, the fallen nature, the Adamic nature within man that says, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. We rebel. Even when it's the truth, if we don't like it, we just say, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to listen. We're rebelling. That's that nature in us that wants to rebel against the truth. But as we grow spiritually and we grow more like Christ and His Spirit begins to take over more of us, we will find ourselves saying, ouch, but thank you. You know, yeah, that was a hard word, but thank you for being truthful with me. Johnny, I'm not going to warn you about playing in traffic because I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to damage your fragile ego. So therefore, go ahead and play in traffic. But I really would like it if you would not. How effective that would be, right? Do you understand how ridiculous that would be, folks? We negotiate with our children. God's put us in charge of our children. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that we should be harsh or unreasonable, but if there's something that is right and a decision is made and you know your child is doing something that is wrong, if you love that child, you're going to correct them. Amen? They may not like you for doing it. But you know what? The older I get, the smarter my parents get. Isn't that the way it is? They didn't have a clue when I was younger, but now I guess they weren't so dumb after all. Maybe I was the one that needed to grow up, right? 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. There it is again. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Folks, how many realize that they're not going to be able to politicize or negotiate peace in the earth? Our nation is going to continue to tumble downward until the church rises up. Amen. And says, we're not going to let it happen. We're going to start petitioning the God of heaven. We're going to start crying out to Him, not just prior to an election, but through the election. Amen. And every day we need to draw back. Our nation needs to return to God. We need to pray harder than ever before, because right now we are very vulnerable. Our nation is divided and only Jesus can bring us together. And let me tell you this, folks, fear is not in God's vocabulary. And as people are afraid, oh, what's going to happen? Don't fear men, fear God, but trust God, that God will take care of you. See, a lot of people are being fed a lie right now, folks, and thinking that, oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and then let's give it a little time, and you're going to find out that that's actually not going to happen the way you thought it was. But you've been set up to believe something because people have agendas. They'll do anything. Some people will sell their grandmother, excuse me if you're a grandmother today, but they'll sell their grandmother for their own agenda to get ahead. Folks, I don't like a lot of the things that I see happening, a lot of the things I heard throughout this election process. But you know what? I'm not going to let that stop me. And I'm not going to jump in with the rebellious and just start fussing about everything. Because I didn't understand it or I didn't see it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for people. Amen? You understand that the political system, folks, is very much tied in with the purpose of God. God is the one who raises up kings. God has prophesied that all the kings and kingdoms are going to be submitting to Him someday. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. He's going to put down all the foolishness, all the injustice, and all the secrets of men's hearts are going to be exposed. And that's exactly what's already beginning to happen. It's coming out of the woodwork. And so you and I need to ask ourselves a question instead of pointing our finger at everybody else and say, what about me, God? Do I have any secrets? Am I living a lie? What needs to be changed in my life, in my heart? Well, no matter what we do, we're going to be under authority. Man, I tell you, you're looking at a guy who's just a long-haired, pot-smoking, rebellious hippie growing up, and nobody's going to tell me, yeah, I know, don't look at, yeah, but nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm my own person. You know what? And what I thought was freedom was actually bondage. The more I was trying to be free, you know, from all restraints or rules, the more bound I became. You know what? I've said this before, but if you run a red light, you're on your own, buddy. There's a reason why that red light's there. Well, I don't like that red light there. Well, it's up to you, but if you run that red light, there's no guarantee you're going to make it. You understand, rules are there to protect us. There is a law of nature. If you pollute the water, I mean, you drink the water, you get sick. And then there's the highest law, the law of God. Amen? And this is what we need to submit ourselves, is what God says. Not what the media tells you, not what people's opinions are, not even what my opinion is about it. It's like, how does God want me to react to this? How does He want me to function? God can change any situation. God can change anyone's heart. Sometimes we look at people and say, man, they're a lost cause. People used to look at me and say that. Some of you are still thinking that, but I don't receive that. But, you know, people who said that about me, they thought I was going to end up in a ditch dead or something, you know, growing up. But God had a plan. And I know there were some people that prayed for me. Keep praying for your kids. Don't give up. Amen? Pray for one another. Our family, our career, our job, our school, church, community, everywhere, there's authority. There has to be. Because without it, there is what? Chaos. And so we got to understand God's word about authority. We need to receive it. We need to accept it. Here's one. Ladies, are you hearing? Colossians 3:18-25. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And of course, we know there's also a promise, amen, of long life in that. Fathers, do not provoke your children. 22, bondservants, let's put it this way, employees, obey in all things your masters. Folks, we got to be careful as believers. you know, on the job, and we see our employer do something that we don't agree with, that was dumb, and all of a sudden, before we know it, we're out on the floor just yapping away and complaining about the management and what they're doing, the decisions they're making. You know what you're doing? You're rebelling against the authority that God has placed there. If they're violating the Word of God, that's different. But if it's just a change or a difference of opinion, shut your mouth, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. Not only from your employer if they hear you. I remember back in the day I was working at this one place, and I was bad-mouthing the boss. I couldn't stand this person. And then I was talking to a bunch of people, and then all of a sudden I looked, and through this window where you could see through, guess who was on the other side of the window laughing? Heard the whole thing. I don't know why I didn't get fired. I probably should have. Guess it's God's mercy. But, you know, God, I was a new Christian then, and God was dealing with me about stuff, you know, in my life, in my heart, in my attitudes. And He was trying to bring me to a place where, even though I didn't agree, I had to come to a place where you what? Agree to disagree. You have to get along. You have to go with it. And then, of course, you always got those who show loyalty and submission only when the boss is watching. You know, when the cat's away, it's a whole different story. But when the boss is around, oh, we better behave ourselves now. Pretend you're working. How many know that God watches you? He's up there. The Holy Spirit's going, It's all going down in the book. It's all right there. Oh, your boss don't see it, but God sees it. Understand that when we serve man, we serve man as unto the Lord. So I'm actually serving the Lord, not the man. Amen? Or the woman. I'm serving the Lord. So understanding that, then I'm going to do my best. Christians should be the hardest working people. They should be the most responsible people. They should be the most trustworthy people on the job. Here's some Bible words that describe a proper attitude. Are you ready? Number one, towards authority. Number one, submission. It means to surrender. It means obedience or resignation. And that's what we just read from Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. The second one is respect. That means to show consideration, honor, or esteem for. 1 Timothy 6:1. But as many bondservants, employees that are under the yoke, count their masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His teaching may not be blasphemed. Third one is obey. This is a proper attitude. To obey means to carry out orders or to be guided by. Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. The fourth one is honor. It means to respect greatly, to show high regard for. You know, we are to honor all men. Did you know that? We are to respect all men. Romans 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes, we're to pay taxes, to whom taxes are due. Customs, to whom customs. Fear, to whom fear, or that means respect. To whom respect. Honor, to whom honor. Now, there are some words that talk about a wrong attitude towards authority. The first one is a very obvious one, rebellion, right? That means a defiance or opposition to authority. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Number two, dissensions. That's the stirring up of discontent. Are we seeing dissensions taking place in our streets? Resistance or rebellion against the government or authority in power, dissension. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 talks about the works of the flesh. But I want you to take a look at verse 20, because it says the works of the flesh are dissensions. That's a work of the sin nature to create dissension. The next one is a reviler or a railer. That's one who speaks bitterly with complaint, aimed at or against someone or something. Has anybody ever done any reviling or any railing before? Everybody here has. But we have to watch that. We have to say no to that. We have to deny ourselves the part of us that wants to do that. That's the sin nature. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler. How many know that if you hang out with the wrong people, they can mess you up. They can corrupt you. I'm going to just interject this, folks. Many of you have heard this. But if you're in any kind of relationship with somebody who is an unbeliever, and it's like having a rope, a tug of war, amen? It's pretend you're on one side and they're on the other. If they're able to pull you towards their direction, which is the wrong direction, let go of the rope. It's not worth it. The relationship's not worth it. But if you find that you're able to draw that person to Christ, then hang on to the rope. You get it? Hang on to it if you can pull them to the Lord. If you find them pulling you in the wrong direction, let go of it. It's not worth it. And so many people have been shipwrecked because of that very thing, because they weren't strong enough and somebody was able to entice them to do something against what they knew was wrong or right, should I say. Okay, here's the other one. Again, we've talked about this, but an insurrection, which is really, it's rebellion, but it's usually less visible in nature than rebellion. So in other words, an insurrection is usually subtle. We've been seeing a lot of that lately. Information subtleties, you know, and little by little, just chipping away. And after a while, if you they've realized that if they repeat the same thing over and over and over again, people start believing it. Even if it's a lie. That's how propaganda works. And so an insurrection is usually someone who is undermining the authority, usually craftily or quietly or behind the scenes, working behind closed doors to overthrow whoever's in authority. Psalm 64 and verse 2, here it is. David said, "Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion or the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." Okay, now I want to talk about what legitimate authority is, because there's illegitimate and there's legitimate authority. Number 5 is functional authority. That means within proper boundaries. I mean, you know that proper authority has to have boundaries. If somebody were to come into your home, amen, and try to take over, that would be illegitimate, right? Because that's your home, and you're in charge of your home. If somebody comes into your home, amen, and they try to take over your home, then you give them the left boot of fellowship, right? You show them to the door. Because that's illegitimate. That's not proper authority. If you're under somebody's roof, you respect the house rules, amen? If you're a child growing up in your parents' house, you got to submit to the rules of the house. You may not like them. You may not agree with them. But if you rebel against them, you're rebelling against the ordinance of God. You're actually rebelling against God. And you can bring judgment on yourself. As a matter of fact, it can shorten your life. Mm-hmm. Because the commandment with the promise is children obey your parents. It's the only thing. The only commandment for children is children obey your parents. For this is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and you may live a long time or a long life on the earth. Yeah. So there's a promise in that. So how about a stewardess on a plane? That would be legitimate, right? You're not going to have some Joe Blow get in there and stand up and say, "I think I want to be a stewardess today." No, that's illegitimate, right? It'd be ridiculous. How about a teacher in a classroom? There's discipline, right? There has to be someone in charge there. The students are not in charge. However, the way things are lately, I don't know. And the same thing with a police officer. A police officer has the authority, I mean the law. But if a police officer comes under this roof, guess what? He's under a different authority now. Amen? Unless we break the law, of course. So we have to be in our place and understand what legitimate authority is. And sometimes people are taking authority over your life who don't have that right. It's called control. Controlling you. Using intimidation techniques to control you. Manipulation. If you don't do what I say, then I'll do that. It's also delegated authority. Legitimate authority is delegated. Jesus answered Pilate. He said, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." John 19 and verse 11. Was Jesus rebelling against the authority? No. He's not denying his authority. He's acknowledging that the authority that Pilate had was God-given. He says, "You couldn't do this unless it had been given to you." And what did Jesus do? Jesus actually submitted to the authority. Even to the disgrace, even to the injustice of the cross, Jesus humbled himself. He could have any time called legions of angels to his assistance, but he didn't. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death for the joy set before him. Amen? So God is observing our actions and even our reactions to those in authority over us. So what happens? Here's an example. What do we do when authority fails? What if there's a wrong decision? What if there was a moral failure? What if immature actions? Anybody ever had any leaders like that? Unfair treatment. When you are treated unfairly by an employer, for example, what do you do? How do you react to that? Well, you get out on the floor and you let them have it. You tear them up and down, right? And you're just crucifying their character with your mouth. Be very careful. You want God's blessing? You want God's favor? Do it His way. Submit yourself to those who are in charge of you. Behave yourself. Get control of your tongue. Don't let that other part of you, that old evil part of you, rule. Amen? Do what God says is right. And you'll have His blessing. You'll have His favor. As a matter of fact, I don't know about how many here have been employers before. If you've been in a position of as an employer, how many of you wanted people who were loyal? How many wanted people that would obey you even if they disagreed with you? And they would do it with the right attitude. If I have to. How many here, as an employer, would want to promote somebody who showed loyalty to you no matter what it was, even if they disagreed with you, they would still not slander your name. They were still loyal to you. They were the same person in front of you as they were behind your back. How many say, I want to promote somebody like that? Do you understand that's how it works? God is seeing. And if we don't repent of these things, God will allow that to be exposed. We learn our lessons. We say, okay, God, that was dumb. I won't do that again. We get up. We get back in the race. Amen? Thank God there's forgiveness. There's mercy at the cross if we confess and we renounce it. So God is more concerned, you've heard this said before, about our reaction to those in authority over us than to what they actually have done. A lot of times, folks, those people are put in charge of us for a reason, because God wants to develop our character. God wants to teach us this thing of self-control. God wants to teach us how to take control of ourselves and deny my right to stand up and say, no, I will not listen. I will not obey that rule. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. And Jesus said, in the latter days, there would be perilous times. He said there's going to be lawlessness throughout the earth. Because iniquity, he said, lawlessness shall abound. The love of many will grow cold. That's what we're seeing today. There is iniquity. There is this rebellion, folks, lawlessness throughout the globe today. Let us not be known for that. Amen. Let us be a people amen, who are part of the solution. That are going to pray for our leaders, that are going to get behind our leaders, that are going to make a difference, that are going to try to bring everybody together. Amen? People are hurting right now. People don't understand. We need to love them. We need to just let them know, amen, through our example, that God is on the throne, that God is with you. He's not against you. He's for you. And if you do things God's way, amen, your life will be blessed. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. God is able to protect you. Folks, a lot of people are in fear today, and they don't need to be. You don't need to be. How many remember the example in Genesis 9? That was Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Remember, and Ham was the one who, the story is this. Noah, after the flood, he grew a vineyard. He was a farmer. And he drank of the wine or the grapes, amen, and they must have been fermented. They didn't have refrigeration, I'm sure. So he had a little bit too much to drink, and the Bible says that he just kind of passed out. And he was uncovered. He was naked. And Ham went in there and saw his father's nakedness. Now, this is where we have to understand respect, honor, amen, and authority. He went in and he saw his father's nakedness. He came out and he blabbed it to his other brothers, Shem and Japheth. They came in with a cloak and walked backwards. They weren't even going to look on the shame of their father. They were going to respect his and honor their father. Even though he was in sin, they would not dishonor him because he was the anointed one in that home. He was the one put in charge. So they took that cloak and they walked over him backwards and covered his nakedness. And when Noah woke up from his sleep, he cursed Ham because of that. You understand? But then he blessed those who had covered him. How many remember the word that says love covers a multitude of sins? If a brother or sister is caught in a sin or something, don't go blabbing it around. Pray for them. Ask God if he wants you to go to them and talk to them in private. Amen. Don't go blabbing their sin and exposing their shame. Jesus covered our shame. He did for us what we'd never deserved. He paid for us. He bought us with his own blood so he could cover us, amen, and clothe us in himself, in his righteousness. He actually became the curse. He took that which we deserved upon himself so that we could have his righteousness. So when God the Father looks at the cross, he sees you and I on that cross. Amen, crucified with Christ. And then when he looks at us, he sees Christ. Jesus took our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Another example is in 1 Samuel 26. This is where Saul was told to go in and destroy Amalek and all that they had because they were enemies of God and they had brutalized the Israelites. And so God told him, go in here and spare nothing. And so Saul, he feared the people and he began to compromise the word of the Lord. He was being partial obedient. How many of us have ever justified ourselves that way? Yeah, God, okay, I'll give you that. But we're not fully obedient. Well, Saul decided it was more important to have the praises of men than it was the approval of God. And he disobeyed the word of the Lord. And they said that they spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. And then he got religious, remember. And he says, well, when Samuel busted him out, Samuel was a prophet that came and exposed it. God had told him, I'm going to remove him because of what he's done, because he has disobeyed me and dishonored my name. And so when he shows up, he says, well, the people, you know, have spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to do what? To sacrifice to the Lord your God. Not my God, but your God. And because you had done that, and actually Samuel, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, shut up. Because he was just going off at the mouth. I mean, when people are guilty, they tend to chatter a lot. You know, when your kids are caught in the cookie jar, they just like, bah, 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 bah. They've got a story that's coming out, and you finally just say, just shut up. This is the deal. Because you've disobeyed the Lord, and he had torn, he said, well, God is going to tear the kingdom from you and give it to another, from another country. And that was David, of course. So what are we saying? We are called to respect those in authority God has placed in our lives. And I'm going to finish with this. How many here believe that God gives us authority? Yes. Every one of us has a certain measure of authority in our lives. We're in charge of something. Amen? He's even given us an authority over ourselves. But in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to as many as received Christ, to him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. Exousia. So we have received authority as sons and daughters so that we can exercise that authority on the earth. Amen? As we represent the kingdom government of heaven. When Jesus was here, he called, you remember, the 12 and also the 70. And he delegated to them authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, amen, over all the works of the enemy. He gave them a power, or the authority, if you will, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. He gave them that ability. However, they would not have that authority, and you and I will not have authority with God until we come under authority. You want authority in your life? Come under his authority. You want authority in your home? Come under his authority. You want demons to obey you? Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need God's authority. There's a difference between dunamis, power, and authority. We need both, don't we? Someone can have power, but not have authority. Or not even realize they have the authority. You can have a cop standing up on the corner, you know, with that badge that has given him authority. But if he doesn't know he has authority, if he doesn't believe in that authority, guess what? This is going to be a Barney Fife standing out there, right? Nobody's going to listen. They're not going to take him seriously because he doesn't know who he is. You got that? Yeah. Well, Andy. Yeah. Yeah. You understand? Authority is very important. If you want legitimate authority, come under God's authority. Start obeying the Lord. Listen to the Spirit of God. God wants his people to be blessed. And the blessing and the favor of God rests upon the humble. God gives his grace to the humble. Those who may have power to resist authority, but they humble themselves instead. And they tell themselves, no, you're not going to resist the ordinance of God because it is ordained of him. And if I submit myself to man who I see, I'm submitting to the one I don't see. Amen? And then I have legitimate authority, even in the spirit realm.